Hello and welcome to Medi-Call episode 188. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
Yo!
Hey! So, we are on week 2 of 3 with our spoiler game.
Yep.
And our picks game, our predictions game, which every time we do this, this moves faster and faster because they've been releasing these sets onto Modo much sooner than they have ever in the past. And so by the time we get to like the second week, it's like the metagame's already starting to take shape. And like, they're no longer predictions anymore, are they?
They're, as you said, they're just dictions.
They're just dictions. So that said, there's really nothing on the line, so it doesn't matter terribly as far as the points go. But we do like to feel wise when we make the right predictions. However, at this point, our results are skewed a little bit towards whichever one of us plays the most or reads the results already, because we've got challenges in Modern and Standard and like Vintage and Legacy results already coming out. So there's a lot of information out there already. So what we'll do is we're going to jump ahead to Gold today, Gold and Hybrid. We'll circle back to Green. But the Golden Hybrid stuff is seeming to make the biggest impact. So we're going to start with that. We can't say that we're making these decisions without considering what is already going on. So I'll just say that we're not, because it's impossible to avoid.
But first, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
Yep, go for it.
ManaTraders.com, the folks that you can use for all your card rental needs. Are we still Medi-Call podcast?
We are Modern Medi-Call, all one word.
Modern Medi-Call, all one word. Medi-Call. For 14% off your first 3 months with ManaTraders.com, your MTGO card rental service.
I think we need to like insert a jingle here. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll work on something for that.
Get out your. You're the set. Are you the trumpet player in your band?
I'm a trombone player. Oh. Well, I play keyboard in my band, but I play trombone. That's what I went to college.
You got
to
break out the trombone and just lay a little track down for ManaTraders.
There we go. I'll do it.
Modern Medi-Call, all one word. For 14% off your first 3 months with ManaTraders.com, your MTGO card rental service.
Anyways, moving on. Like I said, we're going to get to Gold. There are results out. I just got done testing. I have to report back a little bit because we did White last week.
Yeah.
And I played quite a bit of Modern Humans today in preparation for this podcast. And I have to say, I have some information. We were both picking this Olava Brink Adventurer guy, this three-mana dude that you choose odd or even.
Yeah.
And of the cards for Humans, Kudrow included is another one that's going to be included in our discussion today with the Gold. But Olava Brink Adventurer was way better than I thought.
Dude,
out of the sideboard.
Dude, I'm not surprised. It's basically True Name Nemesis.
That's a strong word. It's True Name Nemesis, but it is very strong in certain situations, in certain matchups. It's not like an all around like hero, but when it comes to like, it replaced Mirran Crusader out of the board.
Okay.
So it fills a similar role in like the removal heavy decks where it's like, okay, deal with this now. Mirran Crusader, obviously probably better against Jund. However, Olava Brink, Venturer, it's not Adventurer, is it? It's just like Venturer.
Yeah.
Is very strong against red decks that usually would beat up on humans. So I had it against like mono red prowess decks, and if you put it on odd, there's not a whole lot they can do to it, especially those decks.
Yeah, because what are they?
Blocking all their dudes.
What are they? Lava Dart, Bolt, 8/1 drops, and Bedlam Reveler. So like, yeah, they don't have an answer to that thing. You just have a 3/3 blocker or a 3/3 attacker. And like with Phantasmal Image, they can't target it, so you can just make like a bunch of these and just battle your opponent.
Mm-hmm. I actually had 4 Oriok Champions in play against Mono Red Prowess earlier today. I sent Daryl a picture of that. I was cracking up.
That's pretty spicy. I'm not gonna lie.
Though Humans is playing also the Dranith Magistrate, which we talked about last week, and it looks like I only picked that one for Modern. I wasn't so sure about it, and I think I picked it just out of spite to have some, you know, a different opinion on a card than you a little bit. But I think I was right with that, because that card is pretty damn strong. It's a 1/3, so it's statted well. But with all the companions seeing play nowadays, it's like, it does
a lot more
than you would have expected.
Companions. So, okay.
Yeah.
Yep, see, that makes sense. So had I remembered that companion was a thing, that might have pushed me towards saying it for Pioneer, but probably not for Modern, because I didn't think that the companions were going to be as big of a game as they were. But I did play some Magic over the weekend. I had a friend send me Urion and go, don't you play Soul Herder? Isn't this just like Soul Herder number 5? Yeah. And I was like, all right, sure, I'll give it a try. Card's real good. Card is.
Yeah, so it's like, real good.
You made some changes because like you could find a redundancy of like, I want 2-mana cantrip creatures. Well, there's plenty of those out there. I have, you know, you mm-hmm. can up to 4 Soul Herder. You can play up to 4 Eternal Witness because you were playing like 3 in most lists because you had Aladmeri's Call. But 80 cards gave you like space to put a bunch of sideboard bullets in your main board. Or in this case, I tried splashing a 4th color to play Kiki Jiki combo and Court of Calling instead of Aladmeri's Call. And that was a thing. And actually that deck ended up top 4ing the challenge this weekend. Both Gab and Nassif, but like Urion, and I didn't notice this when I first built the deck. I just played some Astrolabes because I needed to splash red. It says non-land permanence, so you just get to free roll blink your Astrolabes and draw some extra cards.
Yes, I did not realize that either until today, and I saw someone doing it. I was like, holy cow, that's really smart.
Yeah,
makes sense,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, it makes sense when you read the card. But there were definitely a lot of games I played where there was a Soul Herder in play and you would just blink Urion and blink your whole board and pump your Soul Herder like 6 times. And then like your whole board would be gone on their turn. So if they wrathed you, they just killed Urion and then you got your whole board back and you probably got an Eternal Witness. So you'd get back Urion, you'd play it, you'd blink your whole board, you'd draw like 5 cards. It was way better than I thought it was going to be.
So if you've seen the challenge, you also know that Uroza won with a Urion in the sideboard. So when we Brangelina'd the Uro and Urza name into Uroza, now we can Brangelina plus the third wheel, and we can call it Uroza. It's all 3 all at once. And this is like an 80-card version of like the Teemer Urza deck, basically just blue-green. But you don't have to make any decisions. You get to just run all of the cards that you've ever considered for this deck because you have to run 80 cards.
Yeah.
And it's okay because you have so many cantrips. You can run 4 full cryptics now, Archmage's Charm. This one's got, I think it's probably about 70 to 80% of the creatures have ETB triggers. So if you like blinking things, then Emery, you get some value there. Yeah. You can blink Uro. You can blink Urza. That's a pretty good one, right?
Another construct. Blink to get another body. Yeah.
And then minor advantage, we've got like Soul Guide Lantern, which blinks and exiles another card. Not a big deal, but it's something, you know. It's like it's kind of an upgrade to Relic of Progenitus in this style of deck.
Yeah.
For that purpose. So pretty interesting. In fact, the modern challenge was pretty heavily dominated by companions because in second place we have Jund Lurrus. You don't really have to do anything to include stupid Lurrus in that.
I mean, you have to cut Liliana of the Veil. So, like,
No, you don't. Not Liliana of the Veil.
Hey, you.
Or is it? Oh, yeah, because permanence
with CMC 2 or less. So you have to cut Liliana and Bloodbraid Elf. Mm-hmm. So that makes you migrate back to Dark Confidant, which people weren't playing anymore. Just because Ren and Six kind of took that slot over. And people would rather play like Scavenger's Charmer with Bloodbraid Elf. So, like, now you cut Liliana and Bloodbraid. You go back to Bob. And Bob's great because your CMC is so low because you're playing Lurrus. So, like, really the only 3 CMC cards you have are, like, Maelstrom Pulse and Kolaghan's Command. But everything else is 2 or less. So you're playing 4 Bobble. Lurrus itself kind of inherently helps deflect Dark Confidant because it's a 3-2 lifelink. So, like, you get to, like, gain a little bit of the life back from any of your Bob triggers. You can play secondary Tarmogoyf in Grim Flayer if that's kind of your speed. Lurrus is really strong. Like, I knew it was strong for, like, older formats because, like, Lurrus, Black Lotus is, like, in Vintage is just busted. You just go, like, Lotus, Lurrus out of your sideboard. Replay Lotus out of your graveyard. And most Vintage decks don't really play too many non-2 or less CMC permanents. Like, maybe there's like a couple of, there's a Monastery Mentor and a couple of Leovolds, and then like sometimes it's Dax, sometimes it's Liliana. Sometimes you play a Jace or a Teferi 5. So like you just cut those cards, figure out other stuff to put in its place, and then you just get the free roll like repetitive Black Lotus all game.
Yeah. And you know, cutting Liliana is not that big of a deal when you've got Kroxa now, because it, it kind of does the same impression.
Oh yeah, Kroxa is a 2 CMC.
Yes, it is. I mentioned Soul Guide Lantern in the last deck with Urion. How about main deck Niall's Spellbomb with Lurrus?
Oh,
I mean, it's almost at the point where you've got like the Emery Mishra's Bauble loop there, because it's just repeated card draw.
Yeah.
Seems relatively innocuous at first, but after a while, it's like that adds up.
And it just kind of punks like graveyard decks, right? Like graveyard decks can't like you can't play Dredge in the face of like a bunch of Lurruses and Nihil Spellbombs and Scavenging Oozes and Emery Soul Guide Lantern Nihil Spellbomb. Like you can't do that. Like that's not a thing I think you can reasonably do.
Yeah, so we've got Yoroza in with a 7-0. All the 6/1 decks are as follows. There's Jund Lurrus, Burn Lurrus, Devoted Devastation Lurrus. What is this mono green here? This is Hardened Scales Lurrus.
Oh,
why not, right? And then there's Grixis Lurrus, which is Delver of Secrets Sprite Dragon,
okay.
Which looks sweet. I'm interested in putting that one together. There's the four-color Yorion deck. It's Lurrus.
There's a regular Lurrus. Soul Herder, a four-color Yorion.
Where do you see the regular Soul Herder?
Yeah.
The only other one I have on here is white-red Lurrus.
Yeah.
So all Lurrus decks, one Yorion deck. There's nothing without a companion in 6/1 record or better in the Modern Challenge.
Oh, there's...
And I'm not looking at the results, the final results, just the record.
Oh, the final results? Well, there should be. Was Bob the Dog the Urion deck?
No.
Okay, I'm thinking of another tournament that happened last weekend then.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at one from 419. So either way,
yeah.
Point being, there's a lot of companion going on in Modern, way more than I ever expected. I knew Lurrus was good. I didn't know Lurrus was just going to be something that fit conveniently into just about every deck, and it was worth manipulating your deck a la removing Liliana's and Bloodbraid.
I was about to say there's not much removal though, because if you think about it, like all these decks, they get an extra card, but like what are all the threats? What are all the premier threats in Modern? They're all 2 CMC or less. Death Shadow, Tarmogoyf, Goblin Guide, Eidolon. Like there's not a ton of 3 CMC or greater threats that people are realistically playing, like Scavengers, Voice Resurgence. Like all these cards are so small. Like I've even heard people playing Merfolk with Lurrus, like splashing black in Merfolk to play Lurrus.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like it's kind of nuts, man.
Is this a problem? I mean, it's a lot of fun right now, and I'm kind of enjoying it, but I feel like it's going to get old pretty quick.
I mean, it's just like everyone gets an extra card in their hand, like. So, like, attrition, like, if we're going to play you get an extra card in your hand attrition game, well, then how about I just figure out a way to kill you on turn 3? Like, play Storm or something stupid like that.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's an incredible card, and I don't ever feel like Yorion is, like, unfair. When it goes off, it's great, but they have to have a really good board state to really capitalize on Yorion, right? And the same is true with Lurrus. The situation has to be right. They have to have survived. They've got to have some stuff in their graveyard to get some value with it.
Yeah.
It's not something that completely crushes you. However, it's a marginal advantage that's worth including at the cost of changing your deck slightly.
Yeah. Well, Urion,
in almost every sense.
Urion is changing your deck largely because you're adding 20 extra cards.
That's true.
But you can afford to do it in decks that don't mind having the extra cards because they're playing tutors or whatever. Or they have card velocity, but like for Lurrus, yeah, it's very limited amount of changing what's actually happening. Like burn, it's free. Like none of your permanents are over 2 CMC, so you just put a Lurrus in your sideboard. Like, are you really using all 15 sideboard slots as burn? I don't think so.
No.
You know,
yeah, that one's an easy one to slot in. The Hardened Scales one is really appealing to me. Like, you get a lot of value out of that tech.
Yeah, with it. Absolutely.
Humans is putting Gigantha in the sideboard because they can. And it's like, it's a 5-mana 5/5 for that deck. Who cares? But the advantage is that if you get locked out to Blood Moon, you can eventually find a 5-mana 5/5.
Doesn't that let you just play Blood Moon yourself?
It's an extra card.
Like,
Yeah, I mean, you can play Magus of the Moon. Some of them do, but I don't think a lot of people are going that route. So, I don't know. It's crazy. I haven't been super impressed with Giganta in Humans. I've been testing that out, too.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like I'd rather have that extra card in my sideboard. And I know a lot of people are actually manipulating their sideboard in ways where it's like, okay, Oriok Champion, when I board an Oriok Champion, I can't use Giganta. So we're going to do something aside from that in the sideboard, which I think is just crazy. I think you cut your losses and you walk away from the 5/5 for the really strong sideboard cards that have double symbols in their mana cost.
Sure.
But, you know, Dismember is another one. Oriok Champion.
Like here's the thing that I think of when I do this. Like, you can pull those cards in your sideboard because, like, are you bringing those cards in matchups where you want a 5-mana 5/5?
No, yeah, that's the confusion, right?
Yeah, like that's what confuses me. I think you can just take an L in the sideboard slot and put Giganta in there because it doesn't check your sideboard. It just checks the 60 you present. Like,
right.
Do you meet the condition? And so,
so game ones.
Yeah,
you got it.
So game ones, like having a free extra card is fine, and then like against control, you're not bringing Dismember, you're not bringing in Oriok Champion. So who cares? You just get your free 5/5. Against Burn, you're going to bring in four Oriok Champions, and you don't need a 5-mana 5/5.
Yeah, that's fair. I think against control is probably where it's going to shine the most because just having that that extra bit of value and
just an extra dude
to
overcome.
Yeah. So the deck does flood out in the ends of games. It's how it loses to itself a lot. You know, when you're drawing a land or two off the top of your deck, you're pretty much dead if you're looking for some sort of creature, especially if you're looking for a Mana Strider and you're drawing lands off the top.
Yeah.
So finding a 5/5, that's a sizable body that can go toe to toe with a lot of modern creatures, and I think it's almost guaranteed eventually that you'll be able to cast it. All right, we better get into our predictions.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so we're starting with gold today, and I made this list of gold cards long before any of this was really happening, so I may have missed something. So as we're going through the list, if you see something that you're like, oh yeah, this one we got to talk about, just go ahead and pop it in.
Okay.
The first one I've got, and remember we are considering Modern and Pioneer, so the first one I got, we can make this one short, is Brokkus, Apex of Forever. It's 2BG-BG for a 6/6 trample. You can mutate it for 2 hybrid black or blue, green, 5 total.
Okay.
And you may cast it from your graveyard using its mutate ability.
That's going to get played in Pioneer 100%. Like, just like here, make my guy 6/6, always in your graveyard. That's insanely good.
I imagine this will be happening to Gilded Geese quite often.
Ooh, that's a nice one to do it to. Well, no, because you can't. Oh, because you do keep the flying. Yeah.
Yeah, you get flying, trample, 6/6, and you get it repeatedly. So I think anything that comes back from the graveyard like this does, I think, is worth looking at.
Yeah.
This is very similar to an escape card. However, it requires that you have something on the table. But if you're top decking a Gilded Goose, I think you're perfectly happy turning it into a Brokkus Apex of Forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can even add mana or make food.
Yeah, make a not attack with my 6/6, make a food instead. That seems good.
I even like this one. Like, I think this one has some potential in Modern. I don't think there's any like reasonable home for it right now. But again, I think it's worth looking at the Apex of Forever part where you get to cast this as much as you want from your graveyard. And I'm wondering if does this trigger Prized Amalgam?
No, it doesn't.
No,
because it's not actually putting a creature into play, I don't think. Because I think it becomes an aura, right? No, it does.
It becomes a creature. I think it does. It's probably not relevant. I think that's unreasonable. There are better ways to do that.
Yeah.
But something worth considering.
Yeah, not horrible.
Okay, so we both buy it for Pioneer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, not for Modern. All right, we're going to skip this next one. It's dumb. Chevil, Bane of Monsters. It is a 1/3. It costs black green and is a legendary creature, human rogue. It has death touch. At the beginning of your upkeep, if your opponents control no permanents with bounty counters on them, put a bounty counter on target creature or planeswalker an opponent controls. Whenever a permanent an opponent controls with a bounty counter on it dies, gain 3 life and draw a card.
I don't think that's good enough.
I'm going to buy it for Pioneer. I think it's reasonably statted. It's it provides some card advantage at 2 mana. I think it's at least interesting to fill the void of a reasonable 2 drop in like a mid-range creature deck.
Yeah.
We've got Grim Flare, which is good, but I think this guy will help maybe as a 1 or 2.
Okay. I mean, I think it comes up just a little short.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like it should mandatorily put a bounty counter on something, and then if there's no bounty counter, you get the draw card because like you've earned all the bounties. Yeah. But maybe it's like you have to earn the bounties, you have to earn the card draw, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I just don't think it does.
This guy now you don't get to draw the card and gain the life if he's dead, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So okay, so yeah, maybe that makes him a little worse. I don't know. I'll stay committed to it. I'm going to pick him for Pioneer.
Okay.
All right. Death's Oasis is white, black, green for an enchantment. Whenever a non-token creature you control dies, put the top 2 cards of your library into your yard, then return a creature with lesser converted mana cost that than the one that died from a graveyard to your hand. You may pay 1 and sacrifice this enchantment. You gain life equal to the greatest converted mana cost among creatures you control. It's kind of like a
Oversoul Cemetery.
Scrap Trawler. Yeah, it's like an Oversold Cemetery, but what's the Trawler guy, the artifact?
Scrap Trawler.
That does a similar thing for artifact. Scrap Trawler. Yeah, Trawler.
I like this. I just don't think there's a 3. Like, this doesn't create an Abzan Creatures deck, and there's not, like, an Abzan Creatures deck right now.
In Pioneer.
Yeah, in Pioneer. This is not
like an Abzan, like aristocrat style. Is that
Or like even just Abzan, like mid range. Like this is a card. It's probably not a card I'm playing in Abzan mid range because my mid range deck doesn't have 20, 30, 25 creatures in it. So like, I don't think this is good enough for either format.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing. I think initially I put this on my list and I tested it a little bit in standard and it's a very good card in the right circumstance, but on its own, it's pretty awful, and there are some times where it does almost nothing. So I'm going to pass. Dire Tactics is the white-black instant. It says exile target creature. If you don't control a human, you lose life equal to that creature's toughness.
I mean, I'll buy this for Pioneer, certainly. I don't think it's going to be modern playable. Path to Exile is just, like, strictly better.
And humans plays not – it doesn't even play Path in the sideboard. Yeah. It plays Dismember. I don't think humans is interested in a non-creature.
Yeah.
But Pioneer, this might be strong enough where you do not even play it in a tribe.
Yeah.
Like there are likely some decks that have humans in them, like maybe 1 or 2, where it's like, okay, Dire Tactics is perfectly
fine. This is just like, I'll take a couple, whatever.
Yeah. All right, both of us got it for Pioneer.
Yep.
I only put, I think, 1 ultimatum on here. However, we could go into others. But Eerie Ultimatum is the one I listed. We might talk about the, I think it's the Teemer one too, but this one has the ultimatum cost for Abzan, heavier on the black.
Yep.
Return any number of permanent cards with different names from your graveyard to the battlefield.
I don't think this is good enough. Even though it's permanence, like I think 7 is so much mana. So like you have to do 2 things at the same time, either stall the game out long enough that like this does something. But then you have to have permanence. Like, you have to stall the game out with permanence, like planeswalkers, enchantments, stuff like that. Or you have to ramp and fill your graveyard in such a way that this does stuff. So, like, you're looking at, like, Satyr Wayfinder and stuff like that. Cavalier.
Command the Dreadhorde is just better.
Yeah, right? I think so. Right. I think Emergent Ultimatum might actually be able to make some sort of combo deck.
That's what I was thinking.
So that's
the cost is just so restrictive.
Yeah, this is Sultai with triple green for search for 3 monocolored. Okay, monocolored cards makes it really hard.
Oh, emergent. Yeah. Gotcha.
3 monocolored cards with different names and exile them. Opponent picks 1, shuffle it in your library. You may cast the other 2. So people have been talking about trying to cheat this with Painter's Servant and Eldrazi. So like your Eldrazi are all 1 color because you play Painter's Servant. And if you cheat this card, you search for 3 Eldrazi, they put 1 in your deck, and you put the other 2 into play with their cast triggers.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, you can do that. You get to cast them, which is great. But Eldrazi are hard enough to cast, so we're going to make it easier by paying black, black, green, 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 blue, blue.
Yeah. Or like,
what kind of deck is it?
Yeah, it's like, how do you cheat the mana cost on that is the weird part. It's like, I don't think you can. But like, there's got to be some sort of combo deck there, but I'm too stupid and don't understand how to build it.
All right. But let's move on. I don't know about these ones.
Yep.
Are you?
Okay. I mean, I'm moving. Go ahead.
Frondolin Felidar is actually kind of cool. I didn't put it on the list, but I've been playing in Limited and I've been impressed. It's the 2GW 3/5 Vigilance Cat Beast. Creatures you control with Vigilance have one tap target creature.
I mean, I think
if there's ever any playable. You think so?
Yeah. Like this is
I think if there's a deck that has enough Vigilance to make it worthwhile, this effect is like what's the name? Glare of Subduel. And it's good.
Yeah,
I think that's a good mid-range breaker.
Well, I mean, there's definitely, like, you could make this kind of happen. Like, this thing itself just is, like, a Vigilance tapper. And then, like, you can play, I think it's Always Watching. That's, like, the four-mana anthem that gives you guys +1/+1 Vigilance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a thing. Yeah. And then, like, there are just, like, white creatures with Vigilance, like, green-white creatures with Vigilance. So, like, this is definitely a thing you can do. Heliod. Oh, I don't think that Heliod's legal. Never mind. I was going to say the old Heliod gave your creatures Vigilance, but that doesn't work because that's not Pioneer. But, like, yeah, I mean, I think this thing – I'm going to buy it for Pioneer. I think it's a playable card. Like,
you want
I think it's strong. I don't know if people are going to find hope for it.
I'm on the fence. I also think it's a strong card, but I just – yeah, where does it go?
Yeah.
But yeah, the body is pretty reasonable, 3/5, and the effect is very reasonable.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a fine, like, mid-range knucklehead that you just, like, play in your mid-range deck.
Yeah. All right, the next up is General Kudrow of Dranith, 1WB for a 3/3 legendary creature human soldier. Other humans you control get +1/+1. When it or another human enters the battlefield under your control, exile target card from an opponent's graveyard. Pay 2, sacrifice 2 humans, destroy target creature with power 4 or greater.
Is this good enough, Corey? I'm going to say this in the most ridiculous way. I'm probably just going to assume whatever you think on this because you're the guy that plays these, like, aggressive decks. Like, you just said you were just playing a bunch of games of humans. Like, to me, it looks like it's on the fence because, like, it's an anthem that also is graveyard hate, which that part feels good. And then the like effect is non-zero against like Primeval Titan decks, but I feel like it's just a little too bad on all of those levels. So I want to ask what you think about it because I am not particularly good at evaluating these sorts of things.
I had the same opinion as you. It was like obviously it's a good card and obviously it does things that human decks would be interested in, but does it do the right things? And at first I was kind of thinking like, okay, when am I going to want to destroy a creature with power 4 or greater? And like, is this exile efficient enough for it to matter? Do I need another 3-drop that's a lord? Like, all of those things are questionable. However, when they're all packed into 1 3-mana 3/3, it's good. It's really good. Some people are playing up to 3 copies of these in the humans decks. I think that might be a little high. Like, I like 2, but... But the fact that you can exile target or destroy target creature with power 4 or greater usually means that you can get that blocker out of the way for your Mantis Rider to connect for lethal.
Yeah, or you can kill like a Tarmogoyf and open up the ground.
Mm-hmm. It takes 2 humans. That's a big cost, but
yeah.
Usually this guy's like the top of this curve, right? So you've already done a bunch of damage.
Yeah.
So if you can throw away with enough resource. Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, something. Meddling Mage, at a certain point you can cash in and then attack for lethal.
Yeah, so I mean, I know that's playable in Modern then, if that's the case. Is there a humans deck in Pioneer, you think, that can accommodate this? Or are there not enough of the lands that make the humans deck possible?
Well, what do you think, before I say?
I just don't know what humans were printed in Pioneer. Like, I haven't done, like, a Google search of humans. Like, is Thalia's Lieutenant Pioneer legal? Is, like what... Like, I know Meddling Mage isn't Pioneer legal. I know Champion of the Parish isn't. I know, like, Noble Hierarch isn't. And so, like, I just don't know what humans are in Pioneer. Like, I haven't done my research on this one. Like, I would think to buy it on the concept of if there are enough reasonable humans, this will make a humans deck way better.
Yeah. So are you going to buy
it? Yeah, I'll buy it.
Okay. All right. I think you're right with that one. There's definitely enough humans in Pioneer. Thalia's Lieutenant is indeed Pioneer legal. You've got Thraven Inspector, you've got Kitesail Freebooter, Giant Killer, now you've got this Lord, Dauntless Bodyguard, Bloodsoaked Champion, Kithion. In lands, you've got Mutavault for one, Mana Confluence,
Unclaimed territory. I know you have
unclaimed territory. Thank you. That's the one. Yeah, there's plenty. And then Dire Tactics, I think, sees play in this deck.
Okay, too. I just was trying to figure out, is there, like, are we more than two colors? Like, I was trying to figure out, is, like, five-color humans a thing? But, I mean, no. Like, you could just be, like, white-black humans. That's not wholly unreasonable, now that you say that. Like,
yeah, white-black, or, you know, you can go into Abzan humans with Collected Company.
Oh,
I think you're playing Collected Company is much more reasonable when you don't have access to artifact. What the hell? Aether Vial. Thank you.
I was supposed to say, I don't know what you're trying to do right now, so you can thank yourself.
All right. Moving on then. Let's see here. So Genesis Ultimatum was the one I mentioned. Put any number of permanents into... Okay, look at the top five cards of your library. Put any number of permanent cards from among them onto the battlefield and then rest into your hand. That's the Teemer Ultimatum.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of ultimatums.
Yeah, they're great for standard, but I don't think that any of these formats are slow enough insofar as the... Like, I don't think Modern and Pioneer are slow enough that you're going to want to be playing these ultimatums. Like, the ultimatums you want in Pioneer are, like, Cruel Ultimatum or, like, Brilliant Ultimatum. The Jeskai Ultimatum probably will see play in Pioneer. And so I'll buy it there, but I don't, like... If this thing was an instant, it would be amazing, but, like, it's an ultimatum. So let's talk about Inspired Ultimatum. It's Jeskai with a heavy red. Target player gains 5 life. Inspired Ultimatum deals 5 damage to any target. You draw 5 cards.
This one's the most, like, cruel.
Yeah, it is literally Cruel Ultimatum, basically.
Except they don't sack a creature.
You're right, but you get to kill a creature with the 5 damage. You gain the 5 life, so they don't take 5. Okay, I'm not too heartbroken about that. Because really, like, Cruel Ultimatum was just great because it was a 7-for-1 or whatever. Because they discarded 3, you drew 3, you killed a creature. You didn't have very many creatures in your Cruel deck, so you probably weren't getting one back. So it was like a 7-for-1. This is a 6-for-1. You kill one of their things, you draw 5 cards. Okay, sure. 6-for-1. Shucks. Not happy about that one, I guess. But yeah, I think this is Pioneer playable. Yeah. I don't think it's Modern playable. Although, the implication of playing this alongside Teferi Time Raveler does excite me, but I still don't think it's good enough.
How about this alongside 4 mana Narset, the one that doubles gives your spell rebound?
And, I mean,
there we go. Bring it
I'm
back.
Always, I'm all about 4 mana Narset. But again,
not the new one.
Yeah, again, I do not think this is, dude, we're not getting it done, boys. Would you rather Cruel Ultimatum?
That's Pioneer playable.
No. No, it's not. Narset's not Pioneer legal, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Yeah, very much so.
That's great, then. Yeah, okay.
It just doesn't see any play because it's not a very good card.
Shut up. Shut up your face.
All right.
Shut up your face.
All right, we'll move on. I am not going to buy this one, but I do see the power of it. It's definitely strong.
Yeah.
I'm just not a big fan of ultimatums. The cost is ridiculous. Yeah. I want to play the old standard Cruel Control decks, though, with the Vivids in Pioneer. I think that would be fun, just for the lulls. I don't think it's strong. Okay, Kinnan Border Prodigy is up next.
Yep.
It is a legendary human druid, blue-green, for a 2/2. Whenever you tap a non-land permanent for mana, add 1 mana of any type that permanent produced. And it has 5 green-blue... look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a non-human creature card from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random
order. This card's busted. Buy it for both.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Where would you like me to start? Modern or Pioneer?
Well, before you go off, let me just be honest and say that I would be interested in Pioneer for this one, but I wouldn't have picked it for Modern, probably until you make the case in a second here, and I would change my opinion. But I'm going to stick with it. I do not think this will see play in Modern, but you tell me why.
Have you heard of the card Arkham's Astrolabe?
Yes.
That makes an extra mana.
Oh. Okay, I'm buying it for Modern.
Yeah, like, it's all permanents. So, like, you put 1 in your Astrolabe, and you get 2 out.
Yeah, that's... That seems good.
Yeah, it's real good. Okay. So you don't get the bonus with Urza because Urza's tapping the permanent and not the permanent tapping mana. Because if you got it with Urza, it would just be Broko off the chains, like, not reasonable. But, like, you could just put this in a deck with Arcane Astrolabe and you can go, like, turn 1 mana into 2, 3, 4 off of multiple Astrolabes and then, like, act it, like... So it's going to be played in Urza. The problem is Urza doesn't really have a good non-human to put into play off the other effect. But like in Pioneer,
because Urza is a human.
Yeah, Urza is a human. Emery's the only real non-human in that deck. I mean, Uro, but it just goes to the graveyard. But in Pioneer, you play this card, like you're probably playing it in a ramp strategy with a bunch of elves and stuff. You're splashing blue in your ramp strategy, and then all of a sudden you can just like pay seven and flip an Eldrazi into play.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a creature that you put into play, which is the funny part. So you get Emery in Urza.
Yeah. Emery and Uro are your Urza target. And Goose. Don't forget the Goose. In Pioneer you get to like use your like geese and elves to like activate this. And like in the ramp decks, like this is just two mana, hold up your seven and threaten to put a big dumb idiot into play off the top of your deck and to turn in Pioneer. So like this is busted in both formats.
Now you don't have Astrolabe in Pioneer, but I think they're like we saw Leyline go off, you know, yeah. Leyline of Abundance. I don't see why this guy couldn't fill the same type of void.
Yeah.
I think he's more of like a one or two of in those types of decks, especially the Astrolabe decks. Like if you're playing four Astrolabes, you might as well throw in a Kinnan and just get that extra Sol Ring value every once in a while. But I'm not going to be like lodging four of these legendary creatures in there.
I mean,
making that my plan A.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Between that and Mox Amber, like maybe you can find one other artifact that taps for mana and like go off. I don't know.
All right, moving on. Narset of the Ancient Way, one Jeskai. It is 4 mana for a 4 loyalty planeswalker. Plus 1, gain 2 life, add blue, red, or white. Spend this mana only to cast a non-creature spell. Minus 2, draw a card, then you may discard a card. When you discard a non-land card this way, Narset deals damage equal to that card's converted mana cost to target creature or planeswalker. Cool. Minus 6, you get an emblem with whenever you cast a non-creature spell. This emblem deals 2 damage to any target.
It's close. So like the plus ability is kind of medium. Like you really want to draw a card, and plus draw a card is much better than minus draw a card. But like you can play this thing, and the turn you play it, you can minus discard a thing, draw a card, and kill a creature, which seems good, but you may have to get rid of something powerful. Like, so, like, you're obviously choosing to give up something powerful to, like, kill a thing because you're looking at your high CMC cards. But, like, the plus ability is fine. Like, it's not good the turn you play it, but it's good every turn after that.
I beg to differ.
Oh, okay.
I mean, all right, let's talk about this here. Sure. So, I think that there's no doubt that this card is valuable for Pioneer.
Absolutely.
I think there's something there. This is one of those ones that screams to me like one of those planeswalkers that flies under the radar in Modern and isn't like a staple of the format by any stretch.
Sure.
But like it's kind of like the Dream Trawler or the Elspeth Sun's Nemesis of this set where you looked at it and you're like, yeah, it's pretty good. We're going to test it. And then when people do, it becomes like a meme and everyone that plays control decks is like, oh, we got to play the new Narset deck.
Sure.
This one does a lot for Modern. The plus... Think about this. When you're in Jeskai colors, you've got all one mana non-creatures.
Yeah, okay.
You've got Bolt Path, Serum Visions, Opt. Don't forget about Opt. That gets played.
I mean, I sleep on Opt because you can only use this mana at sorcery speed. So I'd rather play Serum Visions.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
But the minus two, okay, so here's the other thing. In the control mirrors, when your opponent is tapping out on turn three to play their Teferi, that usually is like your death, right? Like if you know, it's kind of like a race to who can stick the Teferi for the longest.
Sure.
And you're gonna win that matchup. But if you can follow up their Teferi play with a Narset, minus two and discard any one mana spell, you can probably kill their Teferi off.
Yeah. I mean if
and then end up ahead with the
Narset. If they greed. But you're never like I don't think you're ever playing Teferi and minus it into a red deck. Like into That's like fair. A red control deck. Because like, what if your opponent just has Electrolyze in their deck, and they just go, all right, one Teferi, one you. You're just like, damn it! Like, that was the worst.
Like Bolt. Well, if you've got a creature on the board, then sometimes they have to.
Sure.
But that creature is like Snapcaster in Modern, so that's probably not a wise play. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of the dream. Either way, you can kill a Teferi with this. You can discard a 5-mana Teferi or something. It's not great, but...
Yeah. Like, that's why I'm not excited for this in Modern. Because, like, there's not a lot of, like, all of your, like, expensive spells. Because, like, you need to do big damage. And all your expensive spells are, like, stuff that you have to win the game with. So like, mm-hmm. you're not playing like four mana draw twos. Like you're not playing Chemist's Insight. Like you can you can discard your Chemist's Insight to this thing for something and then flash it back next turn. Like,
I think you could play Chemist's Insight though.
I mean, yes, you'd have to design your deck with Narset in mind, but I don't think people will do that. I don't think this is good enough in Modern. I will let you buy it, and as much as I want it to be good, I will stand on the sideline.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to buy it. I think that Ultimate's really strong, and it's easy to get to.
I mean, the Ultimate is
game-winning.
The Ultimate is very strong. It's basically, it's a worse Chandra emblem. Like, I'll give that to you.
If you're stacking your deck up with the one-mana removal spells, Narset into Lightning Bolt clears a creature off.
Yep.
Next turn, you plus one again, and you've got more mana to work with. You don't have to survive for very long with this thing, or you don't have to fend the attackers off for very long before you can minus six.
Yeah, that's true.
So. All right. So I got it for Modern and Pioneer. Daryl, you got it for Pioneer, then I take it, yes? Okay. Let's see. I don't want to talk about any of these mutate spells. I put some of these uncommon mutate creatures on the list, and I just don't think they're
good. I mean, I want Necropanther. I want Necropanther to be good enough. I want Partial Beast to be good enough. I don't think they're good enough.
Yeah, I even put Lord Drakus on the list because it's a 2-mana mutate, but I think in order to make that ability good, you need to really load up with mutate spells, and that's just a recipe for disaster. Nethroi, Apex of Death. I'm thinking about this one for Pioneer, obviously. Not Modern.
I gotta read this card.
I'll read it out loud. 2 white, black, green for a 5/5 legendary creature, cat, nightmare, beast with death touch and lifelink. Initially, that's good enough for Pioneer, I think. You know, it's like a bad Baneslayer Angel out of the sideboard or something. But the upside is the mutate cost, 4 hybrid green, white, black, black, total of 7. When this creature mutates, return any number of target creature cards within total power 10 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
That card's pretty good. Yeah, that's definitely Pioneer playable. Like, that's very powerful.
I think hitting 7 in an Abzan deck is very doable.
Yeah.
But when you can't hit 7 and you can just drop this as a 5-mana 5/5 lifelink and Death Touch, that solves a lot of the problems that got you into the position where you can't be waiting. You know,
I mean, I'm going to try this in Modern, and it's not going to be great, but I kind of want to give it a spin. Because, like, here's my question. Is this a better Revelark?
7 mana.
I mean, 7's a lot. Yeah, I would agree. But like, just being like a 5/5 Baneslayer Angel is like not unreasonable if you play it on the cheap. You just don't get it when it leaves. So like, it's something I might put in a sideboard and give a spin and see if it was like worth a damn. But like,
yeah, non-zero, you can cast it and then mutate onto it to get the effect.
Like, yeah,
if you are some crazy person that plays Necropanther.
Yeah, you have to play multiple mutate creatures in this deck, and that's a little rough. But
there are some pretty good ones.
Partial Beast is pretty good. People have been talking about Partial Beast, but I don't think it's good enough.
Okay, so both of us are picking that one for Pioneer. Yeah. Regal Leosaur is up next. And that is the red-white 2/2 dinosaur cat that has mutate. 1 hybrid red-white, hybrid red-white. It says when this creature mutates, other creatures you control get +2/+1 until end of
both turn. Formats, bye.
Like,
yeah, I think it's good enough for both formats. Like, I think, like, you're already going to have some like small red aggressive creature strategies. So like turn 3, they can just like play. They can go like one drop, mutate and give and get 8+8 power on their board. Like that's huge. That is.
It seems like a good zoo inclusion.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Like that is a lot of power.
It's kind of like, reminds me of the goblin
Bushwhack.
You know, like the Bushwhackers, the Whacker family,
Reckless.
So I'm in for Pioneer for sure. I think I'd buy it for Modern as well.
Both formats.
Yeah. All right. Riel the Everwise, 1 blue red. It is a mythic human wizard. Oh, it's a human. It's 0/3. It gets +1. Right. Gets +1/+0 for each instant and sorcery in your graveyard. Whenever you discard 1 or more cards for the first time each turn, draw that many cards. I mean, that's an insane effect right there.
I mean, it's insanely good. It's certainly Pioneer playable. Is this Modern playable? We don't have Faithful Sun anymore. So, like, Thardic Reunion draws you two cards, and then you draw three cards. Like, Tormenting Voice. I'm going to buy this for Modern. I think people will put this in, like, a Tormenting Voice Is It deck and try and make that a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, because it's every turn, right?
For the first time each turn.
Yes, you can play, like, the instant speed Tormenting Voice effects and do it on your opponent's turn and get an extra card. You can play Desperate Ravings to have another instant one. And then, like, you can just play, like, Delver style, Delver Pyromancer, this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't play Lurrus when you play this thing. I don't know how I feel about that.
All right. Bad. Off the list. Yeah.
But I think I'm going to buy it in Modern.
This could potentially be in, like, a blue-red holo one style, because I want a Burning Inquiry with this guy in play, don't you? That seems good.
Ooh, I like where your head's at, Corey.
Or even, like, Thirst for Knowledge is good enough. Okay. You know, 5 mana or 3 mana, draw 5.
Yeah, draw 5, discard 2. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Draw 5, discard 2. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I like
that. Anyways, so got it for both formats. It's the tricky part is it's a legend, right? So I think
discard the extra copies.
A little bit of draw. Yeah, sure.
Discard the extra copies, man. And then it's just huge. It's just giant. It's just like.
Yeah, it's likely going to be big.
Yeah.
Would this replace, like, okay, imagine if, like, Is It Phoenix
Enigma
was
Drake,
what it
but
was.
Not Crackling Drake.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It doesn't have flying.
Yeah.
Crackling Drake draws a card. This draws cards. But it also is a little bit harder hit by Graveyard Exiles. Yeah.
That's why I would replace Enigma Drake, because they were playing both Drakes for a while. And the 3-mana one looks...
In Modern?
Yeah, the 3-mana one looks at your graveyard, and then Crackling Drake looks at both. I would cut any Enigma Drakes you played to play this guy.
Okay. All right, Savai Thundercat is next. Red-white for a 3/2 elemental cat. Whenever you cycle a card, you may pay 2. When you do, this deals 2 damage to target creature, and you gain 2 life.
I mean...
If this could hit a player, I'd be in for Modern. But...
Oh, it's only creatures. I don't think I'm in for either format. Yeah. I definitely read that as Lightning Rift, where you could just hit anything... And then you gain 2 life. So yeah, this is not good enough.
Yeah, I'd like to do this in like a Naya Life from the Loam
cycling
land
deck.
Absolutely. That would be crazy, right?
Absolutely.
But it does cost 2 to activate. So I think maybe there's something in Pioneer, but I don't know if this guy is what a cycling deck in Pioneer needs. It's probably more of an unfair combo.
Correct. I don't think that's a thing we want to be doing.
Okay, so this guy's kind of cool. Skull Prophet. Black green for a 3/1 human druid. Tap to add black or green. Or you can tap to put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard.
I think this is certainly Pioneer playable. Just a 3-mana 3/1. Or 2-mana 3/1 for an aggressive deck.
Yep.
That can also ramp you. I just don't see where you'd want to ramp with a 2-mana creature in humans. And it's aggressively costly.
No.
Yeah, so I don't think it's Modern playable.
Well, it's not for humans. I think the most relevant part is tap, put the top 2 cards of your library in your graveyard.
I think so.
And the fact that it can do a bunch of other things that are, like, yes, the mana is great, and the fact that it's a 3/1 is great. Like, it's a reasonable blocker. You can trade up. But I'm seeing this as, like, a slam dunk in, like, the old Sultai. This isn't Pioneer, I'm thinking right now, though, like, the Sultai Dredge decks that they used to build.
Okay.
Those decks haven't been seeing a lot of play, but there's a chance that this guy might be good enough for, like, a Modern, like, deck similar to that. That just want, like, the, you know, they're like the crab decks and stuff.
Sure,
like that.
Crab Vine. Okay, I'll buy that. Yeah. I mean, I'll buy that. That's an idea, but I don't think it's good enough, man.
Yeah, it's probably not. I think it costs too much, unbelievably, for Modern.
Yeah.
But it does a hell of a lot for 2 mana. I think it's definitely a Pioneer player, though. At the very least, in Delirium, I think it's great for Delirium.
Absolutely.
We don't want to just do it. Skycat Sovereign, white blue for an elemental cat with flying.
Nope.
I was thinking like blue white spirits or something, but
nope.
I don't know. There might be a flying deck in Pioneer. It's just probably not good enough. Okay, moving on. Slither Wisp, blue black for a 3/2 flash elemental nightmare. When you cast another spell that has flash, you draw a card, and each opponent loses 1 life. You don't like it?
Neither format. You want to know why? Because it specifically calls out Flash. So you can't just like play it on your opponent's turn and then untap and play Instance and draw cards.
No, you can't. That would be nuts.
Yeah, it specifically is like Flash. So it's like other copies of this and Snapcaster Mage and Brightborn Cutthroat. Like that. Like, so you have eight cards that trigger the payoff, or 11 cards that trigger the playoff. I don't think that's particularly good. I just don't think this is good enough.
All right, I'm buying it for Pioneer.
You think so?
I think it's good enough. Yeah, I think that effect is really strong.
Okay.
And there is like Brazen Borrower in Pioneer. Sure. There is some of the blue-green Flash stuff you can borrow from Standard Deck. And I'm sure there's tons of unexplored territory in Pioneer that has Flash.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're talking about those blue-green Flash things and then blue and then like Brazen Borrower is double blue and this thing's double black, your mana is really bad.
Mana's tough, yeah.
Your mana's very bad. So
you have to get creative.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's something that can be done with just blue and black. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But... So, all right. Let's see. Next up on the list, I did put Snapdax on there. It's one red, white, black for a 3/5 double strike, which on its face is pretty aggressive and reasonably costed.
Yeah.
Or I should say unreasonably costed. It has mutate, 5 mana, 2 hybrid black, red, white, white. When this creature mutates, it deals 4 damage to target creature or planeswalker and opponent controls, and you gain 4 life.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is Pioneer playable for sure.
All right. Let's leave it at that and move on.
Are you also buying it for Pioneer ISM?
Yeah, oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I am.
Just wanted to...
Song of Creation, 1 teemer, 4 mana for an enchantment. It's a rare. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. Whenever you cast a spell, draw 2 cards. And at the beginning of your end step, discard your hand.
Yeah. I mean, that, you buy that. That's like somebody will...
There's got to be something.
Yeah, there's something broken. Something broken this way comes. Yeah.
You know what I like about this one is the fact that you discard your hand, which is supposed to be the drawback, but there are these Arclight Phoenix variations on this deck. I played one in Standard where you have like the adventures so that you always have like a Bone Crusher Giant at the ready to cast and draw cards, or you've got like a companion, like a Gigantha at the ready. And then you can basically from that point, like if you can find a card to cast, you can usually reasonably go off and get your Arclight Phoenixes back from the graveyard, because drawing 2 cards is non-zero.
So here's what I was thinking. I was thinking just craziness. I was just like, well, why don't we just play this with like Hangar Backwalker and Walking Ballista and Mishra's Bauble and Welding Jar? Like how many of these zeros can we play to like blow through our deck and then find some sort of finisher?
Yeah, like Thassa's Oracle, perhaps.
I mean, yeah, I think you're not going to be able to do Thassa's Oracle like the turn you play. You have to wait till like turn 6. Like you just have to figure out how to generate extra mana, because like I mean, you could if you dump your hand early and then play this on like turn 3 and discard nothing, like with Springleaf Drum, and it's like Ornithopter, Memnite, Jar, Hangerbacks, Ballista, kill them with like, Thassa's Oracle is a good one, Grape Shot, whatever generic nonsense you can come up with.
Yeah, I'm honestly a little concerned about this card. I think this one's just made to be a really nasty combo deck.
Yeah, I mean,
this
card along with the other Jeskai one are a little dumb.
Yeah, granted, They're talking about like Aether Gusting this in Standard, and it's like a huge blowout.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Put that trick on the stack, Gust.
In older formats, wider formats, there's more access to stuff that can make this really broken and unfair.
Yeah.
So I think it gets even better with every extra set of cards you add to that collection.
Absolutely.
So, definitely in Modern. And I think there's enough in Pioneer too, so I will pick it for both, as did you,
right? Yes.
Okay, Sprite Dragon, blue-red for a 1/1 Fairy Dragon. It's an uncommon. Flying Haste, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Sprite Dragon.
I would like to purchase this for both formats, but I will let you talk about it because you are the is it man on the podcast here.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it in that Delver deck in the challenge. I'm actually kind of impressed that happened. I don't know that this guy is like, I don't know if it's that good. But I want it to be for sure. It's a cool card. There are just so many different versions of this that have come out that I don't know if this is like different enough to be the one.
So it's better than Storm Chaser Mage because it gets counters. So Flying Haste, 1/1 gets counters. And then also just buying this thing back with Lurrus.
Yeah.
As another flying haste threat that just like can outgrow your opponent's stuff is just very good. And it's non-creature. So like, I mean, prowess but counters is, it feels a lot better. So
yeah, it's definitely good. I'm not sure. If the creature types were relevant, that would be another thing. Like if it had wizard on it somehow,
it's fairy.
Then we'd be talking.
It's fairy. Give me that bigger blossom synergy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it is. It is something you can do with like a spellstutter sprite, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I have to buy it.
Yeah, you're the is it guy, and if not is it guy is buying it, then is it guy is probably like, well, kind of priced in, right?
I do love me some Delver. I want it to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right. So that one is a modern, definitely Pioneer though.
Yeah.
Next up is Vajrock, Apex of Thunder. I like this guy a lot actually. Blue, red, white for this is a mythic elemental dinosaur cat. It's 3/3 with flying and first strike. I mean that's a reasonable creature right
yeah,
there already.
Yeah, 3/3 flying.
Then it has mutate, 4 mana, 1 hybrid blue, white, red, red. Whenever this creature mutates, you may cast target non-creature spell with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. That's a Snapcaster Mage. Right
I mean,
there.
Yeah, it's Snapcaster Mage, but you have to have creatures to put it on.
This is Pioneer level Snapcaster.
Sure, I will buy that. I was going to buy it for Pioneer. I was just like, for Modern, I can't convince myself. Because like the decks that are playing the small creatures that you can mutate onto don't have instants.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, so it's a little funky for Modern. I wonder if like a 3-mana 3/3 flying first strike is good enough. Probably not. It doesn't trade profitably with the Manus Rider that's been exalted.
Nope.
So probably going to pass on that one.
Yep.
Especially since you can only mutate a non-human, which is really funky. So you can't put it on a Snapcaster. So that's
blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
All right, I will buy it for Pioneer only. Whirlwind of Thought. Daryl, this is your kind of card. I'm going to let you take this.
Yeah, man. This is just...
You know what it does?
Yeah, it's one Jeskai. Whenever you play a non-creature spell, draw a card. This is like... It's in the same kind of column as Song of Creation. But this one's more control deck centric. Like, you just like put this out on turn 4. It's like your Planeswalker that draws you a card. And then it just draws you a card every turn of the game until they kill it. Like, or 2 cards, or 3 cards. So, like, this is exactly where you want to be, like, turning all your lightning bolts into cantrips, or turning all your this thing into cantrips, or path to exiles, or in Pioneer, you can turn your absorb into a cantrip. Like, yeah, like, this is, buy it for both formats. I don't care if it's not good enough for Modern, it's good enough for Modern in my heart.
Yeah, this would fit into the category of Narset is like an overlooked control spell for like a Jeskai control. There really isn't a Jeskai Modern control deck right now. And I don't think that either of these cards is like really good enough to do it. But I can see this one like at the very least coming out of the sideboard in the control mirrors or, you know, somewhere where you want the value. This is really tough to deal with.
So like here's the thing I've always had a problem with when I was playing Jeskai and Modern is that I just run out of gas. Like just run out of stuff. Like, you had to play, like, Sphinx's Revelation, or, like, you didn't have Teferi at the time most of the time, and, like, you didn't have Jace, so it was, like, you always ran out of gas. So it was just, like, I didn't have anything to do. So, like, having this permanent that's, like, harder to remove than a Planeswalker, that is just, like, all right, now I have something to do for the rest of the game. Like, I always have stuff to do unless I, like, flood, is exactly what you want to be doing in a Jeskai deck. So, like, I feel like... That like this could be the thing that like helps Jeskai resurge if it does.
Yeah, and it says cast.
Yeah.
So if they counter your card advantage spells, you always get a replacement card.
Yep.
Anyway.
Always cantrips.
So I think it's good. I will buy it for both as well. Last one for gold is Winota, Joiner of Forces. It is 2 red-white for a 4/4 legendary creature, human wizard. Whenever a non-human creature you control attacks, look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may put a human creature card from among them onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. It gains indestructible until end of turn.
So what are our big, dumb, broken humans that we can do this with?
Well, standard does Agent of Treachery.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
And I think there's probably more... There, I mean, it's unlikely for a human to cost more than, like, 3 mana usually.
Yeah.
But Agent of Treachery is probably good enough where if you're just... if you're just packing your deck with four Agent of Treacheries and that's it, and you're just hoping to, you know, Goblin Rabble Master into them,
yeah,
I think that's a good enough strategy to make it work.
Fair enough.
At least in Binary.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair.
I wonder, I don't think there's enough in Modern.
Yeah, I buy this for Pioneer, certainly, but not for Modern.
Yeah. All right. This sort of feels like a Aetherworks Marvel, for a very specific Aetherworks Marvel. It's like, am I going to find the payoff? Okay. All right. Should we power through and just get the hybrid done there?
Yeah, let's do the hybrid.
All right. Let's finish them off. So we're going to skip this first one. Let's talk about Fiend Artisan.
Yep.
Fiend Artisan is hybrid black green for a 1/1 creature nightmare. It's a mythic. It gets +1/+1 for each creature card in your graveyard. You can pay X and hybrid black green, tap, sack another creature, search a library for a creature with confirmed mana cost X or less, put it onto the battlefield, shuffle your library. Cast as a sorcery.
So this is Birthing Pod, basically. It's a little worse because it doesn't auto step up. You have to spend the mana on it. But it has no restriction over the creatures you sacrifice. So you can sacrifice a Noble Hierarch and go get Kitchen Finks. If you have the mana to do it. So like that seems very powerful.
Yeah.
And it's X or less. So like it also doesn't have the Birthing Pod restriction of you sack the 3-drop, you have to go get a 4-drop. You can go get anything.
Right. You can upgrade a Noble Hierarch to a Rebel Arc.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is, I think you have to buy this for Pioneer for sure. Like, I think this will allow, well, I mean, I guess there's no Prime Speaker Zagana deck. So I guess this just isn't good enough because Arcbow and Zagana weren't good enough. So I guess I don't think you buy this for either format, even though it's like a better Birthing Pod, like two other cards that should do something similar weren't good enough.
Yeah. For Modern, we're talking, it's. I agree. I want it to be good in Modern. It's just too
slow. I mean, I want it to be good in Pioneer, too, but like, there's no deck that does that in Pioneer either.
I think it's good enough for Pioneer, even if it's not the... It's just a thing that exists in a deck. It is not the strategy that the deck relies
on. Okay, sure. Okay. I was going to buy it for Pioneer, and then I was talking myself out of it. I think you're talking about it. Like, I think it's fine. Yeah, like...
It's like the name Junk.
Yeah.
You know, it's just good junk,
yeah.
And this is a good card that belongs in that kind of a deck.
Yep.
But Modern, too slow. It's too vulnerable. But you said something that I need to address real quick, and that was that Vivian's Arcbow is not good enough in Modern. I'd agree that Prime Speaker Zagana is probably not.
Or Vanifar.
Vanifar. It sees play sometimes. But Arcbow, that card's real, and people just, no one can understand it yet. Because,
I mean... I'm thinking
they haven't seen.
I'm thinking about doing some Arcbow nonsense tonight with some
Yorion.
I'm thinking about
it. It's really good.
Yeah,
it's a really good card. I like it in the sideboard of like Devoted Druid decks. But anyways, moving on. I just wanted to address that because that's near and dear to my heart. Right. Giganta the Wellspring is up.
Nope,
next.
You skipped one. Garuda, Doom of Death.
Oh yeah, out of order here. Garuda, I've got on the bottom.
Companion only even when it enters the battlefield. Each player. Puts top four cards of the library in their graveyard, put an even from those cards into play. So this is banned in everything on Magic Online because they think they coded it wrong. But the way it's worded, they coded it right. It ignores all replacement effects like Leyline of the Void and Rest in Peace. So like you can exile cards and then still put the card into play. And then you just do this with a bunch of clones and you keep making more Garudas. And other big, like, so you have to hit, so you do it with clones, but the best clone is Spark Double because it's not legendary. And then you clone the ones that are Spark Doubles to make more non-legendary ones. And then you end that with a Dragon Lord Kolaghan. And they all get hate. Oh, Thassa's Oracle would also work. That's true. I was thinking of Dragon Lord Kolaghan, but Thassa's Oracle avoids the combat stuff. So, yeah, that's way better. In Legacy, they were doing turn one kills with double LED, this thing from from the zone, clones, Dragonlord Kolaghan.
Yeah, Standard has a deck very similar to that, where it's just ramp up to six, play Garuda, pack it with tons of clones, or Spark Doubles, and Charming Princes, and Blanket, get Thassa's, stuff like that. They go with Enraised Forerunners for the... I think that gives them haste, doesn't it?
Yeah. I thought we were just going to, like, a bunch of clones, like 24 clones or whatever the mathematical number of clones is to get a clone every time you flip, and then end with Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet card, but it's really frustrating when your opponent hits the jackpot on it.
But buy it in Pioneer. I don't think it's good enough for Modern. I don't think you can get to six fast enough for Modern.
Okay. I'm going to buy it for Modern and Pioneer purely because I think this card is going to be talked about a lot, and I would be surprised if someone didn't assemble some kind of Modern variant.
Okay, actually, I'm going to buy it in Modern too because I just used my brain again, and it's Legendary. And so you can tuck it into – you can not play it as a companion and just put it into Goryeo's Vengeance with Gristle.
Oh, yeah.
And do, like, both. Although I think if you cut Thoughtseize, that whole deck is even anyways. Because there's no Faithless.
You could play the Surveil card. You can play like any of the like 2-mana draw discard spells, like the
Faithless.
The one
Cathartic.
The one where you attack. If you attack, you draw two.
Charter Core, stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, you could do it that way.
Charter Core, that's one.
But yeah, then you can Goryeo's Vengeance and you can do Grish. Well, you can't do Grishol Brand because you can't play World Spider Worm if you want it in your command zone. But if you, I'm going to call it the command zone because I'm used to playing Commander. But if you're just doing it from your deck, you can just do like a bunch of clones. So that's the thing.
I think if a companion is worth consideration, it's going to see play.
Yep. Jagantha.
So doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it fits in deck.
Jagantha. 5-mana, 5/5. Starting deck has no more than every card in your deck has only one mana cost, like colored symbol, it's mana cost. So you couldn't play Jagantha in a Supreme Verdict deck, but you could play Jagantha with like Mantis Rider.
Yes.
People are playing it in humans. Buy it for Pioneer for sure. Buy it for humans. Like it goes, you go from 5 to 10. So like in your Pioneer ramp decks, you just put Jagantha in your sideboard, and on turn 3, you just play Jagantha, have no double green cards, and then like slam an Eldrazi.
I agree. I also like it for Niv-Mizzet decks, for obvious reasons. It can tap to add Wooburg to your mana pool.
Spicy. You did it.
It slots in pretty well to those. The only thing they have to really cut is like the Wrath spells. Like you mentioned, Supreme Verdict is tough, and they used to play the 5-mana one that deals 5 to creatures and planeswalkers.
Yeah, Time Wipe, also not playable.
Time Wipe, yeah. There are other things you can do.
Onward.
Yeah, Kahira the Orphan Guard. This one I think we got to talk about, though. It's 3-mana for a 3/2.
Don't.
Listen, it is... each creature in your starting deck is a cat, elemental, nightmare, dinosaur, or beast card. I think the elemental one is worth considering, though, because there are elemental decks in Pioneer, or in Modern. The only thing that's holding me back is this card is not itself an elemental, and it should be.
Yeah.
It is 3-mana, 3/2 vigilance. Each other creature you control that's a cat, elemental, nightmare, or beast gets +1/+1 and gains vigilance. So I think that might be enough to make it not good.
Yeah, nope, not good.
If you're playing like a teamer elementals deck in Pioneer, I think that this guy belongs
in that. Still don't think it's good enough.
Really? Wow. I mean, it's like, why not if you're playing elementals?
I guess it's free, but yeah, whatever. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to pick it for Pioneer.
Okay. I don't think we need to talk about Karuga the Mechro Sage.
Jeskai Fires. This guy's a big part of Jeskai Fires in Standard. Free card draw. If there's a Jeskai Fires deck or any kind of Fires deck in Pioneer, I think this is an automatic include in that one, and I'm gonna buy it for that.
Okay, I'll buy it too. Then I didn't know. I'm not paying attention to Standard. I just assumed that the Fires decks couldn't cut the early interaction and would just die if they did.
It's possible, yeah.
Lurrus, duh.
We already put us down for that one.
unfortunately, Lutri, too difficult to make happen in real formats, but like in Vintage, it's basically one-ofs anyways, so you can just like Lutri your Ancestral Recall. And this card got banned before it even was released in Commander because it just made every colored deck play it.
We talked about that while you were gone. We had a long discussion on that. It's obvious why they did that, and it's not a point where you're like, oh God, Watsy doing Watsy stuff again. No. It's just like it was the plan the whole time, and it's reasonable.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep.
Okay. Obosh the Prey Piercer. This is a free Torbran.
Yeah, I mean, this is 100% bought. I'm buying it for Pioneer, but not for Modern. It's too many mana.
I'll buy it for Pioneer. It's too many mana for Modern.
Too many mana for Modern.
I agree. It's too many mana for Modern, but there'll be a deck out there that's like, oh, hey, I can run this guy, and then it'll happen.
Spirits and Pioneer for this guy, like flyers.
What?
Like between like all the different spirits and flyers you get, like Spellqueller, Mausoleum Wonder.
Are we talking about Imori now?
What? And Pioneer? Sorry.
What card are you referring
Obrush.
To? Obrush. Spirits?
Yeah. So you can splash red, and you can just cast this guy, and it doubles all your spirits' power.
I don't follow this. There are lots of two-drop spirits that you would be missing.
Okay. I mean, I guess, like, blue-white flyers generic the deck, or blue-white creatures the deck. You can splash red. I saw flyers, like this blue-white flyers deck that splashed red in standard for it. I feel like you could do the same thing in Pioneer.
Okay, maybe there's something, but... Yeah. I don't think it's spirits. I mean, you got Rattle Chains and Selfless Spirit.
That's true.
All sorts of buddies. Okay. Anyways, going on. So.
Yep. None of these other things. Yorion. I'm going to buy that one because that card's busted. Three blue.
Yeah, we already talked about Yorion.
Yep. Three blue. You have to have 20 more cards in the lowest. Exile all non-land permanents. Bring them back. 4/5 flyer. Zarita, the Dawnwaker. Not good enough in either of the two formats we talk about. But absolutely destroying Legacy.
Is it really?
Yeah. So it leads to a lot of weird turn one kills with LED because you play Soul Land into Grim Monolith, and then you play LED, break it, play this guy, and it gives you infinite mana because it reduces LED's untap cost by 2, or Grim Monolith.
Oh my God.
So Grim Monolith makes 3 and costs 2 to untap. So you can make infinite colorless, and then you play Karn and go get Walking Ballista and kill them.
All right. Quick question.
Dude. Yeah.
Are companions a mistake?
Very likely. Very likely they are a mistake.
It's hard to remember that we're only like 4 days into this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
There's bound to be more of them that we haven't considered because that interaction is not blatantly obvious. It's definitely a thing that is on the mind of a Legacy player, but it makes me think that there's more out there. Like maybe Umori has something going on and it's like, we haven't considered.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so that card's not playable in either of the formats we were talking about, but busted in Legacy.
All right, we'll see if our tone has changed on this stuff next week when we come back to this, because we'll have another week of companion shenanigans under our belts.
Yep.
So, all right, well, we better wrap up. We're over time now. We are going to finish the set off with green. What else? Black? We didn't do black yet, did we? No, green, red, artifact. Black, and
artifacts, plants. Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, catch you next
time. Later.